Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
This August marks 25 years that Arthur Ashe Stadium has been home to the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadow Park.
And you always talk up how we discuss the big money issues in the world of sports. This is the largest tennis stadium in the world, and the numbers are huge. It generates more than $750 million a year. You add it up, and that's more than $18 billion over 25 years. Yeah, and on top of that, we know the stadium has been home to incredible moments in tennis history. The Williams sisters facing off for the first time, the first primetime women's finals back in the 2001 U.S. Open. Remember that?
The U.S. Open 2001 and a historical night for women's tennis. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding the meeting of Serena Williams and Venus Williams for the U.S. Open championship. First time, primetime, a women's final at the U.S. Open. And there it is. Venus Williams, the U.S. Open champion over younger sister Serena. The hugs, genuine.
For the incredible matchup between Andre Agassi and James Blake in the 2005 U.S. Open quarterfinals that extended past 1 in the morning.
Andre Agassi, the number 7 seed, has outlasted James Blake 7-6 in the 5th set, an unbelievable tiebreaker. And he will advance to the semifinals.
Oh, Lord, yeah, I remember that. Or when Billie Jean King, a trailblazer in the sports world, was honored at Arthur Ashe Stadium in 2006 when the USTA renamed the entire complex in Flushing the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center.
Mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. This is our house. Love you, New York.
It's funny to imagine that years ago, the United States Tennis Association was considering moving the Open away from New York City. One of the people we can thank for getting Arthur Ashe Stadium built and keeping the U.S. Open in the New York City area is our guest today on the Bloomberg Business of Sports, Davidoff Hutcher and Citron founding partner, Sid Davidoff. Sid, thank you for joining the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Good to be here with you guys this morning.
I still can't believe that was 25 years ago plus that they were talking about, you know, maybe we can find a new home. And you said, oh, heck no.
Well, you know, it really could have been a disaster for New York. It was the perfect storm in a lot of ways because Dave Dinkins was mayor. And he was, for those of you who remember David, you know, he was the biggest tennis fan ever. And he wasn't going to let it get away. His parks commissioner, Betsy Gottbaum, at the time, was also a great tennis enthusiast. Norman Steisel, the first deputy mayor, loves tennis. And Carl Weisbrot, who did the actual negotiation for the Public Development Corporation, part of the city, is just one of the great negotiators. So it came together with a mayor that really wanted to keep it here. And I remember representing the USTA at the time, and there was a real feeling among the board members that they wanted to move out. New York wasn't the place for tennis. It wasn't the gentlemanly way of the audience that they're used to. We have screamers and yellers, and people really get into it. And they would have preferred to go to a place like Atlanta, had gone after them. Several other places were making very nice offers. And, David dug in his heels. The mayor at the time, and made it happen. And I got to say, you talked about some of the numbers of what it meant to the city. It is definitely, definitely the most lucrative deal of any stadium in the country. The city put no money into it. The state put no money into it. It was backed by guaranteed bonds, which were paid off by the USTA. It is all their money. They run it 48 weeks out of the year when the Open isn't there. They run it for the community. Mm-hmm. They have senior citizen and junior classes. And it's just one of the great facilities. So it would have been really something that would have been a tremendous loss had it gone elsewhere.
I like the mention of screamers and yellers. I'm willing to bet that there are some screamers and yellers in Atlanta, too. They might just do it a little bit differently, but, you know, I'm sure they're there, too. I wonder, Sid, if you can explain a little bit about the flight patterns from LaGuardia Airport, because Flushing is right next to the airport, and anyone who's ever seen a Mets game in Flushing knows that you kind of, when the planes go by, you kind of sit back a little bit, you know it's going to go by. How big of a, not drawback, but how big of a factor was that when you began negotiations and the agreement process?
It was a major factor. There's no doubt that if we didn't solve that problem, that probably would have been the deal breaker. Al D'Amato was the United States Senator at the time, and he actually held up the confirmation of the president's choice for head of the FAA until he got agreement to get this flyover issue resolved. And it really wasn't, in reality, it shouldn't have been an issue, because the way it was structured was, in case of emergencies, or weather conditions, whatever it may be, that required the flights to fly in on their normal pattern over the stadium, they would have to. And there would be a fine or return of monies that was owed by the USTA if more than five flights in any hour flew over the stadium that was not part of an emergency declared by the LaGuardia leaders. So, and that's impossible. It would mean that there had to be five mistakes made by planes flying over in one of the most crowded airspaces in the country. So it really shouldn't have been as big an issue as it was. And Rudy Giuliani, during the campaign, made it, saying that we were taking away the safety of people in Flushing and in the Corona area by making this deal. It just wasn't so. But there's no doubt that if we didn't solve it, that it, in my mind, that would have been the deal breaker. And I can remember standing in the stadium on Labor Day weekend with David Dinkins, putting his finger in my chest, saying, "This is going to cost me the election. This issue is a fight that is going to make a huge amount of difference in the election." And I said, "You know, this is what the board wanted. It's a deal breaker. I'm just the messenger here." So it was. I'm glad you brought it up. I can remember that so vividly, and knowing that we were fighting a fight that really shouldn't have had to be fought. Mm-hmm. But we won it. As you know, in the 25 years of the stadium, there's never been a problem with flyovers. And if there's an emergency, everybody understands it, and the tennis players understand it.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Sid, I wonder if we can't fast forward 25 years here. You know, you mentioned Flushing, you mentioned Queens, you know, Scarlett's mentioning Citi Field. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams has recently thrown his support behind the proposed construction of a 25,000-seat soccer stadium just around Citi Field in Queens, right? So my question for you is, having lived through this before, what are the hurdles, to the establishment of this stadium, and can they be ironed out in time for the 2026 World Cup?
Yeah, you know, if the mayor and the Citi Field are talking about non-parkland, that they're not using any part of what's designated within the 1,300 acres of Flushing Meadow Corner Park, I think it can be. I can tell you from experience that just taking a small part of the park for the U.S. Open to expand, and that was the fight. In 1992, I couldn't believe. When I was first retained to do to represent the USTA on the Open, I said, "Who could be against the U.S. Open expanding with one stadium in the park?" Well, there were a lot of people, and because it's taking parkland, and it requires not only local, the community boards, the city council, the mayor, and the state legislature for alienation of parkland anywhere in the state. There was a 3-year fight. If the stadium, if they're talking about any part of the park, they'll never get this ready for 2026. But if it's on purely private land or other than parkland, it is doable.
This is horribly callous when I talk about Serena Williams, but she's great for business for the U.S. Open because this is it for her career. This is going to be the last time she's going to play in a U.S. Open. Can you take us through that? Ticket sales have been off the hook from what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every so often there is an attraction that brings people out more than they normally would be. And Serena is certainly one who attracts. And the fact that this is going to be her last tournament, that she's retiring from the professional tennis field, is something that people want to see. So I hope, as a tennis fan and as a New York person, I hope that she gets right goes as far as she can in this tournament, so that people keep coming to the stadium. It'll be quite a sight to see her in her last performances. I do want to tell one story about Arthur Ashe, you know, if you guys have time.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah, because as you know, it's Arthur Ashe Stadium they're going to be playing in. And if anybody deserves a stadium named after him, it's Arthur Ashe. And during the time that we were fighting to get the expansion of the U.S. Open, the footprint to put it on the new stadium, we had to go before the four community planning boards that encompass Flushing Meadows Corner Park. And Arthur Ashe would come with us to each one of these meetings and then eventually to the borough board meeting. And I tell you, you never met a nicer guy or more of a gentleman than Arthur Ashe. And he would tell the story of growing up in Virginia and playing in a public court. And he said if he didn't have that ability to play in that public court and the affordability to play there and the teachers and mentors who helped him there, he would not be who he was. And most importantly, when he won the U.S. Open, when it was in Westside Tennis Club in Forest Hills, he won the U.S. Open there, but he couldn't be a member of the club. He said that's how important it is for a public facility, a park that's owned by the city of New York and leased to the Tennis Association for the people who play tennis. And it was for anybody that had any doubts that this is the right place and the right time for that expansion, Arthur Ashe put it to rest. He was fantastic.
Old man Barr talking, just a very quick story about Arthur Ashe. I'm a big game show fan, one of my favorite game shows, America Says, and they put up the top seven tennis players. And they put the initials up, AA. I'm like, oh, There's Arthur Ashe.
Andre Agassi.
Yeah, they want Andre Agassi. So this adopted New Yorker was like, what the hell? What just happened here? Well, my congressman is going to hear about this. But my point is that, and by the way, the contestant said Arthur Ashe also.
Oh, good.
And she got it wrong too, just like I did at home. My point is Arthur Ashe has made such a big impact in the sports, like you said, Sid, that you can't measure the magnitude of what this man meant for the sport.
Yep, and it was one of my pleasures to stand and listen to him, be there with him. It was one of the real great moments of what I do in this city.
I got to ask this. This is unrelated to sports. How in the world did you wind up on Richard Nixon's enemy list?
Well, that's a good question. You know, and I just did a recent interview about it because there's only two of us left on that list that are alive. there couldn't have been anything more shocking to me. But John Lindsay, I was at that time top aide to John Lindsay. Nixon, who actually, Lindsay was on his shortlist for vice president in 68. So, you know, he held him in high regard. But as we got closer to 72, and John changed his party for a lot of different reasons to the Democratic Party and ran in the Democratic presidential primaries, Nixon obviously saw him as an enemy and as someone who could, and, you know, he was so paranoid in that White House. But you couldn't, you know, John Lindsay was a white knight. I mean, you couldn't get to him. So the only thing I could figure out is like, and it's in the explanation on that list that they had as to why they chose the people they chose, they said about me that I was head of his political movement. You knocked me down. You knocked his politics out. So I'm saying it nicely. It was much rarer in that particular paragraph. But at any rate, I was the fodder for taking on Lindsay, if you can get to me. Fortunately, they couldn't. But I do tell you, since you asked, that it was hell for the next 20 years. Because once it was put into process, the IRS, the Attorney General, my life was not pleasant. I'm here, overcame it. I do well. I can't complain. Mm-hmm. But it was a great moment at the time to be an enemy of the state of Richard Nixon. But it, for the next 20 years, it was a problem.
Sid, before we let you go, I just have to ask one more question, too. You obviously are renowned for your ability to guide major development projects through New York City and its complex approval process. The New York City Football Club has been trying to find a home of its own since playing its first season in 2015. What is the single best piece of advice you'd be able to give the club and its owners when it comes to trying to figure out how to get this done?
I think that they're on the right track. You know, I never thought that Yankee Stadium and what they were doing up there was right. Again, it was a taking a park, and I can't tell you how difficult a fight that is. People fight for every blade of grass or a little baseball field that exists, and rightfully so. So I think that the idea of Queens, which has everything going for it in terms of transportation, all, if they're doing in the industrial park, which is not on parkland, they're in the right place. They got a mayor who's willing to listen. Obviously, he said so. And if they work along with that community, there's a lot of people in particularly among the Spanish-speaking people who live and play in Queens that will support them if they do it so it abuts the park and doesn't take away from the park. That's the only advice I can give them.
Sid Davidoff, the man who was a mover and shaker for Arthur Ashe Stadium to get it built and to keep the U.S. Open in the New York City area. Thank you so much, Sid, for joining us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. I thank you.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. Catch us here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports. And catch me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
I'm on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm on Twitter at D Sassauer.
And by the way, You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.